Well, good morning. Glad to see everybody didn't leave town for a long weekend. Okay. All right. We're going to look here at three responses to amazing. I don't do real good with titles. Sometimes I wonder about some of those that they come up with. But anyway, we'll be looking at Joshua 2 here in a few moments. Any particular prayer requests that you got going on? Mark?
Yeah, I had a chance to witness with Jake, and we talked for a good hour, praying that the words the Lord gave me, that would be good influences to his thoughts. I seem very interested, and I guess I'm telling you that even though we haven't had time, has also had, I guess, a heart change. And please pray for the increase for my mom and my sister to be in the Lord.
Okay. Excuse me. Well, we got some of our travelers back home. Joanne and Allie and Chris and Patty. Still got Margie and Ayana roaming around Tennessee. Coming back tomorrow sometime. Okay. All right. Karen's back home. Still, her feet are a bit swelled up. So, you know, she can't have trouble getting on a shoe, but seems to be getting around otherwise, so might continue to pray for her that would she be able to care for herself there at home. Okay. Anything else going on? Yes, sir.
I just adding to Ayana and Martin's return. I've noticed that a lot of flights are being canceled. Monday is the most travel day of the weekend. So
they leave at different times and they all come home Monday, huh? Yeah.
Hopefully the flight won't be canceled.
Yeah. Wow. That's a long drive. You better get started. Okay. All right, we'll pray that. They had a smooth trip going down, hopefully a smooth coming back. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's kind of hard to. Yeah. So, okay. Is there anything else going on? Going once, twice? Oh, I was going to mention this. Well, if I say it now, I don't need to mention it later, but just happened to notice. Let's see, what is. Is it a niece? Anyway, this. We had prayed for this Scott with a colon thing here a while back. And anyway, they live in Nashville. Well, they thought they'd get out of town for the weekend. So they went to Chattanooga. I don't know if you saw the news on Chattanooga, but they had a shootout downtown. And so I wrote them. I just happened to notice. I said, "You guys okay?" Yeah, they didn't know anything about that. And anyway, when they went out for ice cream, they heard what they thought was backfire, and maybe it was. And they looked at the story I'd sent, and they said, "Oh wow!" Says we were back at the hotel safe, but she said we talked about going on this boat ride that evening, and had we went on the boat ride, we'd been coming right through that area when they on their way back to the hotel. So it's kind of like, Lord makes you yawn and you skip something. It might be a good idea to follow through with it. Yes. Yes, Mark.
Please also pray for all the families.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably heard about that one family, one of the teacher's the teacher that was shot, the husband of one of them had a heart attack and died. So,
four children and a family.
Yeah. I think you said some of them are kind of grown out of the house, but they thought there might have been a younger one in there somewhere. But, yeah, still, lose mom and dad in a week, that would be pretty tough on anybody. So, okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have to study your word. We do pray for these particular needs. I thank you for Mark's opportunity to talk to Jake. Pray that both he and Antonio would be receptive to these times of witnessing, and that you would continue to work in their hearts and minds, help them to see their need of a Savior, be saved. I pray too for Mark's mom and sister, that you'll continue to prompt them to open up your word and to read it, give them understanding to what they're reading, and again, that they too might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the families that have been affected. There's no doubt a ripple effect, not just has to be somebody in your own house, but maybe it's the neighbor kid or the neighbor that was one of the teachers or somebody. The whole town's affected, Lord, and we just pray that you might comfort the hearts and lives of people, and for the Christians, that they might be of special comfort. No doubt there are some families in amongst those that don't know the Lord and wonder what in the world's going on, and that through all this that they too might come to know Christ. We do pray for Margie and Ayana as they prepare to come home tomorrow, that you give them their flight wouldn't be canceled, they'd have a safe flight back home. Yeah, we ask that you guide us in your word as we look here at Joshua. We also thank you for getting Karen out of the care facility and back home. Pray that you'd help the swelling to go down to her feet and she'd be able to be a bit more mobile. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at Joshua chapter 2 here today, and we got the spies going into the land. We see here God's sovereignty, God's in control, God's guiding people. And I came across another book here yesterday that I was reading and got some additional insight on this, other than what you might have in your book or even my notes. And so I kind of squeeze that in. You might think, where did you get that? Well, it wasn't in the lesson, but it makes sense. But we see that what had happened to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, going across on dry land, going through the Red Sea, what they did to these other kings that they've done battle with, had a real definite impact on the people of Canaan, especially as we look here at the people in Jericho. We see here Joshua ends up sending in the spies to check things out a little bit. You know, kind of nice to know what your enemy's up to, what you're going to be dealing with. Now, he and Caleb would have been in the land, whether or not they had checked out Jericho. But, you know, 40 years ago, things have changed. It might have been no walls around the city 40 years ago, but now they're up. So militarily, they're checking this out, kind of see what's going on, what they can find out on this mission that they go. Whose house do they go to? Okay. Tell me about Rahab. She's a harlot. Okay. And, you know, there'll be a house where people are coming and going on a regular basis, so it probably wouldn't be all that unusual for strangers coming into the town to go make a visit, stop off there. And but in the meantime, they find out kind of what the temperature of the people of Jericho, what they're thinking about, and what was their attitude towards Israel coming over?
They were terrified.
Terrified, okay. Yeah. you know, I don't know quite what to compare that with today, you know, whether if it may have been Ukraine with, you know, 100,000 Russian soldiers and tanks and everything else sitting on the border. I wonder what in the world's going to happen here. It varies a lot, and I didn't do an awful lot of research on it, but I looked up, what's the size of Jericho anyway? And it's like 9 square miles, and there's some of them, okay, normally there's X number of people per square mile, and one outfit come up with, maybe it was there were 900 people in that city. Another one estimated between 2,000 and 3,000. So we don't know. And yet we've got Israel. We got potentially there are a couple million people. They have an army. And again, I was looking at that in there. Their army, you know, there varies from 200,000 to 600,000. Well, okay, we just take the low number, and you got 200,000 soldiers against a couple thousand inhabitants. It's like, oh boy, this is back before. You know, machine guns and bombs and everything else that they might use to protect themselves. So, yeah, and they realize, okay, here's God, this God of theirs that they don't know for the most part, part of the Red Sea and wiped out the army of Egypt, you know, and that was a fierce adversary, no doubt. And, you know, if he can part the Red Sea and they're on the other side of Jericho, other side of Jordan, what if he parts the Jordan and they come marching over, you know? So, yeah, and there's so many of them. can you... So there's a military aspect to it that they want to check things out. Any other possibilities here? Why they might be going in? Okay, this is where I kind of picked up on this on the other book, and it makes sense. And we'll see here, you know, Rahab, it wasn't that these guys... We're on an evangelistic campaign, and they went in to Jericho with a pocket full of tracts, and they talked to her about the Lord, and she got saved. She believed about what she believed about God before they ever got there. And so you've got potentially Rahab. We don't know, you know, if that was true of all of her family, but you've got a... we'll call her a believer at this point, in this city. And God wants to protect her. God wants to save her from the destruction that's going to take place. Well, we better figure out a plan here to somehow protect this lady. And so it wasn't just lucky that they ended up at Rahab's house, that God guided them to her house, because they went in any other house and they would have got turned in and, you know, arrested or potentially killed, you know, because these guys were a threat to the whole city. When they did get loose, they wanted to catch them. They didn't want them to go back to report back to Joshua to tell them that they're all afraid, you know. And so just another aspect about this. Okay, so again, Rahab's house through the years no doubt had a lot of traffic through there. It's her house is up next to the wall. And again, God's sovereignly working this out. It's not, you know, just luck that things work out the way that they do, and that they end up going to her house, and she's fearful of what God would do and is ready to trust the Lord, or has trusted the Lord, and she really puts her own life kind of on the line here in protecting these guys. The thing is, somehow, well, they had to get from wherever they came in at, the city gate or whatever, to get to her house. Now, I don't know if it's maybe it's the dress. You know, they're where did they get those clothes? They don't look like they're from around here, you know. Or if they hear them talking. Sounds like they're talking a foreign language here. Anyway, and this other writer, too, was thinking that the king, knowing that they're on the other side of the Jordan River, probably had his own spies, people that are watching them, you know, what's going on over there, would have seen, potentially seen these two guys coming across the river and followed them, you know, to know where they're going. Because they know to go to Rahab's house, start rapping on the door and saying, you know, you better turn these guys over to us. And, you know, it was, she's putting her own life at risk here. You know, we don't know for sure exactly what would have happened to her, but you can anticipate that it wouldn't have gone over real well had the rest of the town found out that she's, you know, hiding foreigners, potentially enemies, in her house. How about the, where does she end up hiding them?
Under something.
Flax. Okay. Yeah, if we're... let's back up here a little bit. Joshua 2:5 says, it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, so they'd come through the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I want not, pursue after them quickly. Okay, so she's telling the police or whatever, where they went, he says, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them, verse 6, up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Now, okay, so you think they're just, you know, sticks laying on the roof. Well, if you were to research this a little bit, flax is something that they actually make cloth out of. And it's quite a laborious work to turn the flax into cloth, something that you can use. Yes.
Linen.
Huh? Linen. Okay. I don't go to Joann Fabrics much.
It's a very expensive cloth.
Okay. Yeah. And they, again, they said that, okay, so remember this, what, the cord that was, they were going to hang out the window? What was different about that? Scarlet, red, okay. And again, we're not trying to read too much into this, but just, you know, it's awful easy just to hit it and keep going. But he was thinking here with this flax, this is something that you make linen or cloth out of. And with a scarlet, that wasn't easy to come by either. They would get this out of a rock. They'd boil this. And this rock, and the dye would come out of it. Okay? Well, rather than trying to dye the whole piece of cloth or linen, they would put rope into it. And so this rope would soak up the dye, and then you would sell the pieces of rope. People would buy like a 6-inch piece of rope, take it home, put their cloth into a pot, throw this dyed piece of rope in there with it, and it would dye the clothes. Well, it's going to be expensive. But if you've got this thing, and they're estimating, they don't know for sure how far the window is up above the ground. But if it's, you know, 20 or 30 feet up, that's a lot of 6-inch pieces of rope that they could have sold. And this is hanging out the window. So, and his thinking, and again, she's still called a harlot. She's referred to that. He's thinking that potentially, you know, she wouldn't have had time to have this kind of a business with this flax and making the scarlet rope and all the rest of this stuff and still be a harlot. You know, maybe that was her old profession. And now she's into something else now? I don't know. We don't want to read too much into this. But I just thought it was kind of interesting. But anyway, she's got this this flax there. They're hidden under it. What kind of a story does she tell these guys? They're gone. Yeah, they've escaped. They got out of here. You know, you better hurry and go find them. and maybe it's a small town. They know everybody. Surely nobody's going to be, she's not going to be hiding these guys. And so they take her word for it. But she lied to them. And we don't want to try, you know, we can try to rationalize all of this. Lying is not something you want, habit you want to get into. Can you think of any other times where godly people were lying? Yes, Gail?
Yeah, when those babies were born.
Yeah.
They were told to kill the boy baby.
Yeah, and they're thing was, well, they're just delivering before we get there. And they were saving the babies because they feared God, right? And you were going to say?
Abraham said that Sarah was her sister. She wasn't half sister, but she was his wife.
Yeah. Yeah, so there were some lies in Scripture, and that's not the whole point here. But, you know, and you wonder, okay, going forward a couple thousand years, Corrie Ten Boom and their family were, we've got a secret place in the attic. You know, you want to check out the house? Let me show you. Or no, we're not hiding any Jews. You know, I don't know what all happened there. But, okay, so the idea is there, she sends them on a wild goose chase, okay? And we see here that Jericho is, they're terrified about the potential of what can happen to them. She said there in verse 9, it says, and she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Okay. it wasn't just Jericho, but other people that they knew of, you know, they knew that they were about to be overrun, okay? Now, that didn't cause them to just pack their bags and, you know, head out of town. They still stayed and fought. But did Jericho fight? Do you remember? We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. That's another lesson. But okay, do we see Jericho defending itself or fighting with these people? No, there's not much going on. 7 days around, and they're not. You know, it's like, okay, we don't want to do anything to aggravate these guys. We're maybe they'll just make us servants or something instead of killing us all. But it, again, the past, what had happened in the past, verse 10 says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea." Now, this is 40 years ago, but it's still in their mind. And when you stop and think about it, they're seem to be impressed as much or more than the Israelites were with this. You know, it's like, whoa. He dried up the water of the Red Sea, and when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Okay, their reputation had preceded them. And, you know, as oftentimes you get, the story probably grows, you know, during those 40 years. And then he says there in verse 11, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and in the earth beneath." Okay, this is Rahab. I mean, she's preaching a sermon, you know. And so, you know, she's making an agreement with them, you know, that you're going to protect me. You know, when you guys come back, I'm looking, you know, I'm kind of spared you, hid you. Now you need to return the favor. Verse 12, "Now therefore I pray, you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token," or an agreement here. "That you will save alive my father and mother and brethren and my sisters, all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Okay? Now, she didn't give a lot of other stipulations, but don't kill us. Okay? Because they, you know, without the spies saying anything, she knew what was going to happen. And she believed that God could protect them, but they also knew they needed, these guys are the ones coming in after them. And so we see here, the Lord's working in her heart and life. That must have been kind of interesting for the spies as well, as they're hearing this information from this lady saying, "Wow, can't wait to get back and tell Joshua. These guys are scared of us." That, you know, that helps. And you know, we got to come up with a plan here in order to save this family. We see how that works out. Verse 14 says, "The men answered her, 'Our lives for yours.'" Okay, so you protected us, you spared our lives, we're going to do the same for you. "And if you utter not this, our business." So, you know, as long as you or somebody in your family doesn't run and tell the local police or whoever they are, the king, then, you know, we'll protect you. "And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we shall deal kindly and truly with thee." And so she lets down this cord, verse 15, by through the window for her house, which was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Okay, so, you know, when the walls do fall down, we got one house standing, her house. that's protected. And her advice was to get to the mountains, hide out for 3 days. And while these guys are searching high and low trying to find them, they are protected. And then when they give up, then they're able to get back across the river and to report back to Joshua. Okay, so questions asked about Rahab. Okay, she lets the rope down, they climb down, head for the mountains. What might have run by Rahab's mind?
She lied and helped with the enemies.
Pardon?
She lied and helped what they would consider the enemies, but she purposed her heart towards what was right with God.
Yeah. Okay. What is she depending on to keep her safe?
That those two guys get back to Joshua,
yeah.
So then he can tell that to the soldiers.
Yeah, so it's pretty important that these guys get back. Otherwise, nobody knows about what kind of an agreement they've come up with. You know, so she wants these guys to survive and to get back. Okay, but she's also knows that they're coming, and these guys ran to the mountains to get away from it all, and the rope's still hanging out the window. Would there be a temptation there to maybe slide down the rope and go ahead for the mountains herself? You know, let's get out of here. They're going to destroy us. But she didn't. She trusted the Lord to protect her, staying in her own home. And, you know, I guess that's where faith comes in. You know, we come up with plan A, plan B, you know, and we're plotting and scheming and how can we make this all work out? Well, it seems together, you know, that God brought these guys here. We've got an agreement. They're going to protect us. They're staking their life on it, that they're going to protect her. And, you know, they'll pass the word along. I'm safer staying where I'm at than heading for the hills. And so God providentially guided these guys to her house. You know, it wasn't just lucky that they ended up there. And that, again, they go to the right house. Any other house, they're not going to get the welcome mat thrown out. They're not going to get somebody that's offering to hide them. They're going to be going, please. you know, because that would probably give them brownie points with the king. You know, we turn these guys in. Mike?
Yeah, I think another reason that she stayed because she had asked the two witnesses or the two people to take care of her family.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't just her. It's mom and dad. You know, well, mom and dad's getting up in years. Maybe they can't slide down the rope, you know, or whatever the case might be. But but again, it's faith. It's trusting in the Lord to protect them. And so it's kind of overwhelming odds. We got an army coming of X number of hundreds of thousands coming, and yet I'm going to trust the Lord to keep me safe. If the Lord can keep Rahab safe when you got this huge army and you know that God's going to give them this land, it's kind of like we're the intruders here. They're the owners. They're going to be taken over. You might keep that in mind. You know, God can protect us when we're seemingly facing some overwhelming odds, too. We don't know how things are going to turn out. You know, Christians might end up looking like we are in the minority, but we don't know how it all works out. You know, we're trusting the Lord and we're out of here, but it doesn't mean that we might not go through some rough spots before we get out. And not to throw cold water on the rapture, I firmly believe in it. But sometimes we get the idea of, you know, anything bad from our perspective that would happen, God's got to get us out of here before that happens. Well, you ever read or are familiar with Fox Book of Martyrs? You know, they're burning people at the stake because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You'd think that would have, there are probably a lot of people were thinking, it's got to go, you know. Now, we got more pieces of the puzzle put together now, biblically, you know, Israel's back in the land and all kinds of different things. You know, there isn't a whole lot of stuff that has to be fulfilled before the Lord gets us out of here. But yet we don't have a timetable, you know, and we better be careful about trying to set one. But again, just the fact that the Lord was able to, you know, one family out of this whole city, and he's going to protect them. Does that ring a bell? That God would protect people in a city that's going to be destroyed? Gail?
I think it was the blood put on the
doorpost. Okay, yeah, the Passover. Okay, right. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, if there's, you know, so many people in here that's, you know, and we keep whittling the numbers down and, you know, and pretty soon it's Lot and his wife and two girls that leave town and it's destroyed. But God protected him. God saved him, you know. Could have just said, nah, you know, it's only four people. Big, you know. But he didn't, okay. He's there to protect us. And so, again, Rahab's choice to trust the Lord through all this. She's exercising faith. And I'm not strictly following the lesson if you're trying to figure out where we're at on this. I'm just, a lot of things, there's so many lessons to learn in here. What else can we learn from Rahab and her faith and the Lord protecting and so on? Is there anything else that kind of pops into your head? Yes.
Somebody pointed out that her name shows up in the genealogy for Jesus.
Right. You'll find, where's the faith chapter? And she's there. Okay. Let me keep going. What else could we learn from Rahab? Yeah, God's, you know, we tend to categorize people, you know, and that might not be a category that we think probably is going to get into heaven. Anybody else kind of along the same lines that were pretty wicked people and yet God turns their hearts around? Yes. Oh, switch the babies, yeah, and yeah, well, Solomon, well, we'll just cut it in half, right? You can eat half. And then the real mom says, you know, no, let her have it. Well, then he knew who's the other one. Sure, that sounds like a good idea to me. Yeah, but, God saved Paul, and he would have been viewed as a wicked person by Christians because he's the one who's locking them up in jail and wanting them killed. And God turns his heart and life around. He gets a hold of the heart and life of Rahab whether or not she'd given up her profession as a harlot or not, but God spared her. One thing I was going to add that they mentioned too, and this is not to excuse people, but you know, it's kind of like we're held accountable for the knowledge that we have. Did Rahab have scrolls laying around to look at? No. She didn't have the law. She didn't have, you know, all the information that the rest of the Joshua and the rest of them had to know what was right, what was wrong. She's grown up in a pagan society that you can count on lying is just part of everyday business, you know. And again, with her profession, there was probably a lot of lying going on, you know. And again, not to excuse it altogether, but it's like, okay, she had enough. She knew enough about God and was trusting in Him. There's the rest of this, a lot of this other stuff you're going to learn later on. It's like a person that gets saved. There's an awful lot in here that, you know, a person doesn't know. And you find that out as time goes along and you mature and grow spiritually. And so that was going to happen to her as well. Okay, so we see here, you know, they've kind of got this plan put together, and that her and her families are going to be protected. They've agreed to the stipulations. Nobody goes to tell the king, you know, anything about us. And as a result of that, you know, we'll protect you when the time comes. And there wasn't anything magic about this cord, you know, or anything else that was going to be, it wasn't a good luck charm, cord hanging out the window or something. It was God who was ultimately going to protect them. And she's chosen to not run from it, but to stay put for her and her family to be protected. I mean, like I say, it might have been one thing for her to sneak out of the house and go down the rope, but we don't know how many. We got mom, dad, sisters, husbands, kids, you know, somebody might be looking out their window and see 30 people leaving town, you know. And so the safe place was to stay right where they were at. And God helped her to stay with it, even though that, again, that temptation may have been there, that God was going to provide a rescue for them at the right time. What do you think? Do you think maybe she might have been wondering a little bit when they're marching around the city for 7 days, and the trumpet blows, and all the other walls except theirs is falling outward, you know? And you know, is this all going to come together? Well, it's kind of God shows up at the right time, not a day early, not a day late, but just when we need Him. And we have to remind ourselves of that, because sometimes old devil's kind of whispering in our ears, God's going to forsake you. God's, you know, He's not paying any attention to you or your prayers or anything else. No, it's God's true to His word. Okay? Yes, sir.
Yeah, what I kind of look at her is she had an unwavering faith in God. Yeah. So a lot of those guys are marching around there. Yeah. You know, she believed that Dale's Saber.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I look at.
Well, yeah, no, and you're right. I've just never thoughts come on my mind at the last minute.
Yeah.
Well, stop and think too. How peer pressure? She had to know a lot of other people around town, but she was willing to take sides, one family against all the rest in the city. Had the rest of the city known what was going on, they'd have probably tore them all limb from limb. But they didn't. Everybody kept their mouth shut. And God protected them. And I'm sure Well, you know, like I said, and I'm jumping ahead, but those walls fall down and she looks out the window and there's Israelites at the bottom of the rope saying, you know, let us in, you can come out now. You know, but again, these guys are able to go back to Joshua with good news. And, you know, well, we know it gets written down. It's a story that's been told over and over again. Can you think any other, we've kind of touched on this as we went along, any other lessons that we might be able to learn from this? Right. God's sovereign. God's in control. Now, sometimes, you know, things happen that cause people to, you know, wonder or ask questions. But ultimately, God's, you know, we got the short view. You know, what's happening today, this past week, next week, whatever. You know, God's got eternity in view. All right. But one thing that they bring up I thought was interesting is sometimes people may have done, who knows what people have done in their past. Okay, we all have a past of some kind. Some of them, things maybe we don't necessarily want the whole world to know about. But sometimes that impacts us too, as we're thinking about this, even maybe nobody else knows anything. And we're thinking, you know, God can't use me. I'm, you know, tainted material. And yet we see here, God can use whoever he wants to use. And we're all sinners. You know, again, we tend to categorize, you know, good, better, and best. And yet we're level ground before the cross. And God, none of us deserve heaven. Okay? None of us deserve to be saved. And yet he chooses to save us anyway. And it's by his grace that we're saved, not because of anything we've done, you know. So whether it's the priest for Israel or Rahab the harlot, neither one of them deserve it, and yet God demonstrates grace. In fact, it just shows the amount of grace that's available. You know, God doesn't just say, okay, top 10%, you know, you really go-getter Christians, you get to come on up, the rest of you, yeah, you know, nice try. But he doesn't do that, you know. But he's there for all of us. And the thing was, and well, it's time to quit here, but other people in that city, other people in the land of Canaan had the same information that Rahab did. But they chose not to believe in the true God. Okay? And you got people today that, you know, don't want to hear about it. You try to talk to them about the Lord. I don't want to hear about it. Okay. You know, that's your choice, but there are also consequences of those choices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for loving each and every one of us. Thank you for loving Rahab and her family, that you didn't just automatically discount her as tainted material, and, you know, we got to, you know, keep the family line clean here. You know, we don't want any riffraff in here. You, all that will come to you, that will trust you, can be saved. And there was an awful lot of people in that country that chose not to believe, but we know at least Rahab and potentially her family came to trust you. And we pray that you might continue to motivate us to talk to others. We don't know what people's response is going to be, but it's not like we're going to talk them into being saved anyway. It's your Holy Spirit's going to work in their hearts and lives, and that your word won't return void. And so we pray that you'd help us to be good messengers for those around about us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming.